If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
Just a heads up that due to a technical problem, I had to use the backup version of my audio on this call, so apologies if I sound a little rougher than usual. Guests still sound solid and it's still a really fun conversation. Thanks.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast!
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back here with two familiar faces and voices, I think, to local podcast listeners and to people who are interested in local music. I think that for a little background, I guess the first time I met the two of you, and I'll get you to introduce yourselves in a minute, was through one of the Manitoba Podcast Festival meetups, which was, a few years ago, we started getting all of the local podcasters on all the various topics together and talking about the weird hobby and the excessive amounts of time we all spend doing this. And a lot of us sort of got to know each other over, regular monthly meetups. We haven't been doing that this year. Hopefully we'll get back to it at some point, but it's definitely a nice way to sort of build a community. But you guys are relevant to my show, not just because of the podcasting thing, but because of your background playing music in Winnipeg. So I think the best way to kick us off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves and give a bit of background, about what you do as musicians and podcasters.
I'm Sean McGinnity. I am a musician, podcaster, writer, a whole bunch of different things. In relation to what we're talking about tonight, I am one of the co-writers for all the tracks on this particular album called Bros Before Gin.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm Todd McGinnity, Sean's brother, obviously. AKA Fast Fred Fingers, I guess is what we my handle is. Also play in multiple bands, but Sean and I have played together in a couple, and do some podcasting and video game junkie.
Right on. Well, yeah, like you mentioned, Sean, the reason we're here today is because this suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, I'm sure that you had been working on this for a while, this CD of kind of old projects that the two of you had been involved in just materialized, and there's this Bros Before Gin album that suddenly became available. And it's cool because, I mean, like, I knew of your involvement in the band Dome, and then we talked about that fairly extensively on the last time you guys were on the show, but this is completely other projects that I wasn't aware of. Despite knowing you guys, I didn't realize that this was a thing. So what is Bros Before Gin, and how long have you been sort of working on putting this together?
Well, this is all the side writing we were doing. So in Dome, you know, we were writing with Alex, and he was like kind of the principal guy there pretty much. So, you know, we were writing with him and we're kind of writing in that style. And then, and there was a band before called Salty Bear, and Todd kind of was a part of that too. But then we were writing with Dan. So it was like always different writing dynamics that were going on. But on the side, Todd and I have always written songs, just him and I together, just kind of whatever our fancy was at the moment. Like,
yeah,
we'd have a sort of style of music that we liked, and we kind of play along with it. And occasionally we would, you know, rent a 4-track or something to record on. And we would, you know, put some of this stuff down on tape. And over the years, it's like, well, there's some of the stuff that we finished and it's been lying around. It's not really doing anything. It's just gathering dust. So before we kind of, I kind of felt before we embark on anything else, like recording new stuff, writing new material, I kind of wanted to get what we already had like on CD or out there, so people can actually listen to it. Like, just don't leave it in the closet. Like, take it out.
Well, and like, as I'm sure you know, that's something I've always advocated for too. If someone has made something creative, don't just leave it in your basement to eventually, you know, rot and turn to dust. Like, there's so many options now with the internet and with the way that people consume creative work now that you can just make it available. And then I think there's benefit too. I mean, even if some of these songs, I'm not sure, maybe you'll disagree with me, maybe they weren't sort of songs that you felt as strongly about as maybe some of the stuff you released formally at the time. But like, there's still value to having this out there, and to sort of people who like something you've done can go back and see sort of the trajectory that you've come through as artists. And even if someone likes your podcast, they might want to check out some of the other projects you've been involved in. This is a kind of a good way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, it's, I don't know, Todd, do you want to comment on, I'm curious your take on the track.
Why did you guys not talk about this or what?
Well, it's just, we just sort of have it. Like,
right.
Yeah, this, I mean, I've always recorded stuff. I mean, way back when, I mean, this goes to my grandfather when he used to watch wrestling on TV, and he'd have his little tape recorder. No one could make any sounds because he wanted to tape it and listen to it later, I guess. And I kind of got into that also. I had a little tape player with a little microphone, and I'd go around the yard and talk to the dog and, you know, go inside the septic tank that we had. It was a great big fuel cell off of a locomotive that we had, type of thing. And even the bands that I was in high school pretty much recorded everything that we had done there. So as time went on, we kind of recorded stuff. And you notice that some of it is, I mean, the quality isn't that great because it was recorded on say, just a radio. And, you know, the microphone is the size of a pinhead, and it wasn't exactly, you know, stereo or anything.
And you put it in the middle of the room, and everyone's recording into the same mic. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, or you'd have a four track, and then you'd dump two tracks into one track, and then you'd put another couple, and then you'd lose fidelity every time you did that. But Sean had recorded stuff with myself, and he had recorded stuff with Dan and some other people, and we just kind of collaborated. Over the years, we had just tried different things and figured that we would kind of put all these things together into the album.
Does doing this now, does this kind of inspire you to be more active as far as making music? Like, has this kind of sparked anything with you, or are you just sort of happy to have this out there now and whatever comes will come?
Well, yeah. I mean,
go ahead, Todd.
Like right now, I'm in another band. I'm playing bass again. Which is fun, but I still like to doodle on my own and write some stuff. And Sean's got an electronic drum kit now, so he can actually lay down some tracks that are. I mean, the audio will be pretty pure.
Yeah.
Instead of having to try to mic it with you know, mics and then trying to mix it after, at least it's there in its raw format, and then I could always have the tracks and, you know, add something else to it. So. I mean, that won't be the last of what we do, but it's just kind of a past stuff that we've done together and on our own. So,
yeah. Well, now that it's out there, what kind of reaction have you got? Because I know, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's not something that's been widely heard, but you definitely have. I mean, I have a copy. I know you've got copies to other people who are curious and interested in hearing what you were doing. What's the response been like?
Pretty good, I think. Like, One of the tracks, Broken, has been, I'd sent Broken and Sirius, I'd sent it out to various places in North America, just like, hey, check this out. And both tracks, like a lot of downloads, a lot of listens and stuff like that. And even got picked up on this quirky radio station out of Colorado.
Oh, cool.
And they were playing it for a long time. And then that radio station plays a lot of, they call it 204 content. They play a lot of 204 content, and the guy moved back here and he plays 204 content all the time. He likes indie stuff. He's always playing. So we've been played there. I don't know. I mean, it gets a fair amount of, I don't know, plays, like, especially on SoundCloud, cause I have that up on SoundCloud too. So I don't know, the reactions are like, wow, okay, this is not Dome.
Right, no, right.
Pretty much, which is, I don't know about Todd, but for me, it's like, yeah, like, we're not a one-trick pony for sure. Dome was just, it was a specific coalesced project. I mean, it was a concept record. So it had a specific sound. It had a specific story to tell. And, you know, obviously it had a shelf life.
Yeah.
That was okay. This is a moment in time. And this is what it is. So, you know, like as you can tell, like some of the tracks, like some of the Cyberlove stuff, like, you know, I'm definitely not like, I don't know. I kind of get categorized as the hard rock guy because of Dome, but it's like, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, sure. And that's kind of what I wanted to get into next too, is that part of it, because like you said, it's definitely not Dome, and that stuff, that those tracks in particular are definitely not Dome. Like, that's a very big departure. So people only know you as the hard rock guy, or both of you as hard rock guys. I mean, some of the stuff on this entire record is very much out of that kind of that zone. So what's the deal with the Cyberlove stuff? What was the inspiration behind that?
I like electronica. I've liked it for a long time. So I was at the time that it was done, I was a big fan of Vav Jungle, and I would go, you know, watch her play various places, and I'm like, that's cutting edge, that's cool. I gotta learn how to do this, because I wanna do more of it. So I hooked up with Debbie, who, you know, who had the name Cyberlove, and I auditioned, and then we wrote some tracks together, and we did an album together. So these are the two that I actually sang on, but there was other tracks as well, but they've all been lost, but these are the only two I was able to keep.
They've been lost to time, or they're just not going to be put out?
They're just lost. I wish I could find them, because there was some really good stuff on there. Some stuff that was a bit more straight ahead EDM and less Sean jumping around like a crazy banana.
Right, right. What era is this? Like, how long ago were you actually doing these songs?
Well, the Cyberlove stuff is 98, I believe.
Okay, so it's quite a ways back at this point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, all the stuff, like, there's just Jammin' on there, which was a band that we had with my dad, our dad, I should say. And it was his band, and then Todd and I got recruited into it. And it was just, like, kind of a covers band, but... I think Todd knows the story of this. Like, Todd and I wrote three songs, like, outside of the band, and it was just for us. We were just jamming in the basement, and my inspiration, at least vocally or lyrically, because I was doing the drums, Todd was doing the guitar, we just jammed out some three songs and wrote it together. And then I had the vision that my mom would sing it.
Okay.
Like, our mom would sing it, because she's got this, like, great blues baritone, sort of like amazing voice. So from my perspective, I was trying to come up with a vocal that would fit her, that she could sing. And then the idea was, well, let's bring these songs into our band, just jamming, and maybe mom will come in and sing them. You know, we'll be her backing band, and we'll sing them, and we'll have, you know, material for our mom to sing. But we ended up just doing it ourselves, you know.
I like the family aspect of it, though. That's kind of cool. That I mean, you know, a lot of people have family bands that but they don't record them, or they're just hanging around the living room playing with instruments or whatever. But it's cool that you have this kind of even though it didn't work out the way you intended, like you're just saying there, you still have these recordings of this project that you were involved with, you know, with your dad and everything.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was cool. It was. I don't know.
I was gonna say I've got one of those Zoom H1 recorders. And when we started recording, I mean, Sean, myself, and Dad, we had been in a band together before. And then we got together with this one. So once I had the recorder, I think I recorded every session that we did. And I think I still have it on a hard drive somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, like everything was recorded for Just Jammin', which is nice, because that was the advent of, hey, you can record your shit and it doesn't sound too bad.
That's right. Yeah.
The last track on the album was actually like live off the floor. It wasn't a written song. It was just one person started, the next person jumped in, and it was literally an on the floor recording.
That was our warm up.
Warm up. Yeah.
Yeah. So you plug in, just jam out something just to warm up.
Well, it's interesting too that you were doing this in, you know, a while back. Like, this isn't something that you did last year or whatever, because I mean, now bands have so much more opportunity to record everything, because everything is, it's so easy to do now, right? You barely need any kind of specialized equipment. You can use your phone and you can get a semi-decent sounding recording of a rehearsal or whatever. And so, like, whenever I see bands that aren't doing this, aren't recording every practice and filming every show and doing all this stuff, it drives me crazy, because, like, you just know that, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the line, they're going to wish they had a copy of that. Yeah. So I definitely respect that you guys are doing this, because, I mean, I did that with all my bands, you know, when I was a teenager and up until I stopped playing in bands. And it's been beneficial in the sense that just I have these tapes lying around. And if I want to listen to it or I want to share it with someone, it's like, here you go. Here's this terrible band I was in when I was 15, you know, and it's there. So, I mean, is this something you've always done? Like, Todd, you were saying that you kind of, you know, we're like a proto podcaster going around and talking to people with a tape recorder and stuff. But I mean, is this this idea of documenting creativity, is that something both of you have always been sort of automatically just sort of done?
I have. That was kind of my thing. Maybe Sean, not so much, but anything that I've done, I've usually recorded it, just, you know, just to have it, whether, and the same thing as we did. Even when we were at Dome, when we were playing out somewhere, you know, we always had someone doing video. So that it was something.
Yeah, we missed like two shows. There's like two shows that we don't have.
Yeah.
Which chaffs at me. It's like, damn it. Like, we missed two shows, and those were probably our two best shows. Of course they were.
Because you can't hear them, right? I'm sure if the video surfaces somewhere, someone filmed it, you're going to find out, well, no, wait, these were definitely not our two best shows.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good thing they were hidden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, so when you go fishing.
but it's nice, like, you know, like we're two guys not in our 20s anymore. So, but the cool thing is I can actually, and like, we have the stuff back, like our first band with Dad, we still have a few performances of that. That's when it was harder to video stuff, but we do have like a few performances, so we can go watch Dad playing bass and just killing it as he wasn't the front man of the band, but he might as well have been. He wasn't singing, but damn, he owned that stage for sure. And we could still go back and watch that stuff. But the best part is I can show my kids who are still pretty young, I can show them that. And when I show them that, they just want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they see it like, wow, look, there's Dad and there's Uncle Todd and there's Papa. Papa's there. You know, and they just get like stoked.
washed over me. Rhythmic waves, close your eyes to see. Some will say, you've gotta let go. But when the tide comes in, you go with the flow.
We don't have anything of my mom from her heyday when she was out playing all the time. There's nothing.
Okay, we've so she was actively doing shows and stuff?
Active is an understatement.
Really?
Oh yeah. No, she was on TV regularly. Like there was like do you remember what the show was called, Todd? It was an American Bandstand type show for the Maritimes.
Okay.
And mom's band, I think it was the Blue Notes, I could be wrong. But they were the weekly house band for that show. There's no footage anywhere. It was on CBC, I believe. I think that's what it was at the time. But CBC doesn't even have anything. Like, we've actually got historians in the family that, you know, look for these kinds of things, and they can't find nothing.
Wow.
All the recordings that were like all the audio recordings, they're all gone. Mom's like, oh, well, I didn't want to keep that stuff. And I look back at that and I feel sad, and I don't want to do the same thing to my kids. Like, No, I want stuff for my kids. I want them to know what a goofball Todd and I were. Or,
yeah.
You know, that we're doing this stuff and, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, we went out and did something, you know, and we just tried stuff. And, you know, it's like maybe not every song was the best song, but at least we're making things, creating, things, you know.
Well, and sometimes that's all a kid needs to do something on their own too, is right to see like, oh wait, this is doable. I mean, the same thing goes with podcasting. I think a lot of people have started this hobby because they've seen other people doing it and realized it's not, you know, you see someone, you know, or someone, even if you don't know them, hey, mm-hmm. you can just start talking, or, you know, and kids, same thing. They see their parents up on stage playing music and then it's like a light bulb goes off, right? Oh, I can do this too.
Yeah. And why not? Like, you don't have to be great at it. You just got to be going out and doing it, put the effort in, and, you know, like do it for you. And if you like it and you enjoy it, chances are other people will too.
That's the important part, I think. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, just think of the generations now versus, I mean, your grandparents or your great grandparents that you probably don't know, and you probably don't know the history. So because of technology and what we've been able to do, it's almost like a chronological, you know, a bit of our life that maybe a couple generations down the line might be able to see this stuff and go, oh yeah, that was my great, 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 great grandfather or something or other.
Right.
I mean, you hope to have some type of a legacy, right?
Well, if you're looking for your great, 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 whatever, at best, you're going to have a grainy photo, maybe that still exists. Right. Having hours and hours of audio of these people actually having conversations or footage of live shows, for sure. So yeah, there's absolutely a benefit, I think. Even if it sucks, maybe it's not going to suck to someone, you know, who wants to learn about their family or learn about what was happening in a certain place and time.
Yeah. And it doesn't even just have to be music. Like, it could be beat poetry, or it could be like, we had an uncle who was a professional wrestler. It's like, is there any videos of that? No.
Wouldn't that be great if it existed?
But I'd love to see it as good or as bad as it was. It's like,
it doesn't matter. It's,
you know,
it's part of the family and part of history.
Well, and this is maybe, I don't know how hard this would be to do, but when you were talking, Sean, about, you know, all of these recordings and video and footage of your mom's band that are no longer, they don't seem to exist anywhere. I think that'd be a fascinating podcast series, is trying to track that stuff down. I would listen to the shit out of that. Like, you know, going to all these places, talking to people who were maybe in the band, if they're still around, or who knew the band, or people at CBC who may have been there at the time. I mean, that would be fascinating. And I think that there's, I'm not trying to like make you, you know, do this, because I imagine the amount of work would be pretty, it'd be pretty intensive. But I mean, that's the kind of thing that, like, you know, because of the way everyone's connected, that's something that is possible. I mean, if footage exists, there is a potential that you could find it if you reach out
that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Actually, I'm friends with a lot of mom's old bandmates, to be honest. Like, I'm friends with them on Facebook. I mean, we don't know each other well, but they see my last name like, ooh, that's Eileen Gules.
Right. And even if you don't end up finding anything, I would love to listen to a podcast series about trying to find this stuff. The journey of trying to track this stuff down would be, what is that like
that Oak Island show where they don't find anything for seven seasons.
And they're not going to find anything, but it's still, you're there for the trip.
That's true. Right?
Or Geraldo.
Geraldo with the safe. Yeah,
with the safe. Yeah. They're opening the safe. What's in it? Nothing. And that went on for what, a week?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't believe all the words they play.
The Strong Geek and Fast Fret podcast has been going on for, you know, it's been a long time. You're getting close to my kind of...
7 years, yeah. Seven plus years.
So what, I mean, for people who haven't heard the show, can you give a quick like elevator pitch of what it's about and why someone should check it out?
Well, this year it changed a bit. I don't know if you're aware of all the changes, but we decided to kind of not expand the brand, but like, I think the mainstay of it is Todd and I, we release our episodes on Mondays. There's the occasional solo episode when we can't, you know, scheduling is kind of funny because I hate missing a release date.
I know the feeling.
But, yeah. So, but the mainstay is Todd and I, and we just talk about whatever, like it's literally in the old days, you get together on Sundays with the family and then your cousin or whatever, and you would get together and you go in the corner and you just shoot the shit about whatever. And that's literally what we do on Sunday mornings. And I don't know why we picked Sunday. There's probably a lot of reasons, but that was the family day of getting around and, you know, getting a chance to not have the kids around and actually talk to your sibling or whatever. Yeah. So we just talk about whatever, like, you know, a lot of times it's about music, but, you know, lately, a lot of times it's about Elon Musk or whatever. Like, it's just, you know, whatever floats our boat that day or, you know, and, but it, I think, I mean, it seems like it's a show about nothing, but it's people talking to each other, which we need more of that in the world today. There's just too much like surface conversation. How's the weather? Oh, you just flew in from wherever, but people don't talk about things. And that's what Todd and I do. And I feel a little guilty that we can have a relationship like that, that a lot of people don't nowadays, because everyone's, you know, working from home and everyone's distance and everything's just about, you know, we have to talk about our budget, or we have to just like have a real conversation. And is it about nothing? Actually, no, it's about everything, really. And that's really what we do. And there's offshoots of the show. We have random releases on Fridays, which include The Metal Shop and Geeking Out with Karen B, which is just, I don't know. I like podcasting. So, you know, I need to do a little bit more. So, well, and that's, you know, that's fun.
I was going to say, to link back to what we were talking about earlier too, this, I mean, you have 7 years of this and these conversations between the two of you that future generations can check out and hear. And, you know, I mean, your kids, either of your kids could just sit down and there's a whole massive archive of the two of you talking. And so they can find out things about you that maybe they never would have, like some interests and opinions and things that maybe never would have come up in conversation.
Like we've had mom on twice and we interviewed her, and we actually had one whole episode about the scene that she was in.
Do the tracking down the music podcast. Yeah.
That episode was like the most downloaded for years. Like, cause there was like all of mom's old fans came out of the woodwork to listen to that. That's awesome. You know, and it's like, I don't know, that was, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's a real conversation. Like, we don't do interviews when we have people on, we just have conversations with them. Like, we just, you know, we had one last night with this guy from Georgia. It's just this random, not random, but this kind of random guy that I met through podcasting. Cool. And he's like, he felt like, hey, he feels like a cousin or something, you know? So we just, hell, let's just have him on.
That's awesome.
You know, it was random, but now it's like we're buddies and we're trading music and stuff. You know, it's I don't know, it's cool.
It is cool. It is cool. That's the one thing about the internet, that despite all of my complaints about it, like the connectivity between people that you never thought you'd ever talk to and you can make friends with and build relationships with.
Well, like awesome. You and those guys from the Propagandy podcast.
Yeah.
Like that totally. Wouldn't happen. Even 10 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. Like that's,
no, and Greg came to my house.
Cool shit.
They can hung out with me and stuff. Like, So, okay. So, I mean, you have the podcast and you have the various music projects. I mean, the Bros Before Gin CD is out. People can, how do they find it? How does someone, I know you said it was on SoundCloud and
it's on SoundCloud. Bits. Yeah. It's on Bandcamp as well. I still have physical copies, so you can still order some. I will say, because particularly Sam and myself are purist, and if you own music, you own a physical copy of it. The physical copy is the only complete version of the album. The version that is on Bandcamp doesn't have all those tracks. That's on purpose.
So it's incentive to buy the physical.
It's incentive. Yeah. Why? You know, you're going to agree with me. I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know, when you go online and there's a streaming service and, hey, we've just re-released the 20th anniversary of Dark Side of the Moon or whatever,
yeah,
with 17 more tracks, but they're doing that on the digital side. I disagree. I want to do the reverse.
Totally. I like it. I don't know if purist is the right word, but as someone who's stubborn and set in his ways, I appreciate that. It's always nice. Yeah.
But that's the way to do it. Like, you have songs that other people just won't hear.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It's great. It's very cool to have in the collection. Okay. So people can find that on SoundCloud, on Bandcamp. They can reach out to you guys to get physical copies. Where can people hear the podcast?
To go ahead, Todd. It's all you.
That's at seanmcginity.ca. That's SeanMcginity.ca.
I like the sultry voice there coming in.
Yeah. That's the sex appeal of the show right there.
Right, right.
And
right.
All social media. And there's our socials. It's Sean Geek Podcast and everything. Yeah, maybe it should have the proper title and the website should have the proper title, but I've had those two names since the dawn of time. So
you're just trying to steal all the glory for yourself. I'm sure Todd is secretly fuming about this and
oh yeah, I'm sure
plotting his revenge.
Yeah. The Todd Geek Podcast is coming soon, I guess.
I still think you should make merch that says the Todd Geek Podcast and just see how much better that sells than the regular ones.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. God. But some quick news is we do have a new logo that we're going to be unveiling soon. A fellow podcaster from Geekspin, he's been doing some work. He did the metal shop designs that we have as well. And he's also working on a design for the Metal Lord, which is the shadowy creature that's going to eventually show up on that show.
Cool.
And so the new logo, we haven't debuted it yet. We're just waiting for, I don't know, the right time to put it out. But I really love the new Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast logo. It's aces.
Yeah, awesome. Well, stay tuned for that. I'm excited. I mean, your other one was pretty cool, but this it's nice to hear that you got something fancy in the works.
Yeah. So we'll be throwing it on the TeePublic store, and I think I want to do some print copies through Divine again, like some. You know, do the mailing out myself. I think I actually prefer to do that. So
yeah, I do too. I don't like buying stuff from some, you know, some website that I don't know who it's going to. I'd rather just like give someone some cash. But I realize, obviously, if you have listeners who aren't in Winnipeg, yeah, it makes it a little trickier.
And that's for them, really. But I mean,
totally.
I've shipped CDs out to everywhere. Like, I even shipped one out to Europe. You know, right, you're putting your personal touch on it, and I think people appreciate that.
For sure, they do. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Let's keep this peace.